Well, I want to start off by singing a song this morning. It's one of my favourites. I hope it's one of yours. But I need... No, not Soul Life. I need your help with it. Now, who here has ever led Sunday school? Who here has ever been to Sunday school? Okay. The scripture we're doing this morning, we're just going to sing in this song, okay? And you have to do it with me. Don't leave me hanging. Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. He asked for alms and held out his palms, and this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He went walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. I don't rest in the world of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Thank you. I think I would have Googled that. That's our scripture for this morning. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee. We are in this series on spiritual gifts. And if you go back to the beginning, remember we said that spiritual gifts are not just for the church, but in all reality, that God's kingdom be made present in people's lives in the here and now. They're manifestations, explosions of God's grace in people's life. And we know they're not just for the church because we saw that in the life of Jesus. We see it in the lives of his disciples. All you have to do is to read Acts. And you see the amazing things that God was doing in and through these men and women of faith. This morning, we are doing the hard one, I think. One of the most difficult ones. And I want to start off right away by saying, at the end of this time together, I told you this last week, we're going to ask who wants prayer. We are going to say, you know what, God? We believe that your kingdom will come and be made present. I have to tell you, at the 7:30 service, there was about 37 people at that, and we prayed for almost half of them this morning. And I just went, wow, God, this is such a need in people's lives. So I just want to, don't want to make you nervous, but I want to give you the reality that we are going to be praying for people a little bit later. So much has been said about healing over the years. In fact, there's probably almost as many books about healing as there is around prayer. But what you think about healing, the one thing to remember is this. Neil, thank you. Can you just bring up the slide? Thanks. That healing is a sign that God's kingdom is present. Healing is a sign that God's kingdom is present. And whether that happened through the miraculous healing of someone praying and saying, rise up and walk, or whether that be the healing that comes from someone who's been to a counselor or psychologist and have been able to be listened to and heard and be able to work through, or whether that has been through the other part of the medical profession, doctors, nurses, all the different strains and levels of medicine, healing is a sign that God's kingdom is present. Now, when it comes to healing, many people try to focus more on why it doesn't work, right? Why doesn't it work? And a lot of people say it's because someone's got sin in their life. That's why they're not being healed. To which I say, if it's about sin, have any of us got any hope at all of ever being healed of anything? Hands up if you're not a sinner. Hands up if you're in Christ. Okay, just checking. We got that one good. That's good. You're absolutely loved by God. Or some other people might say, well, the reason they're not healed is because I didn't have enough faith as I was praying, or they didn't have enough faith as a person being prayed for. To which, again, I say, if this is a thing, then I think we're all in trouble, because who's got perfect faith? Who never doubts anything about God? And who understands everything about God? As we look at Scripture, healing, though, is a sign that God's kingdom is present. And I don't know about you, but wouldn't it be awesome to see more people set free in Jesus? Whether that be physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, wouldn't it be so good to see more and more people find healing in God? Well, the reality is it already happens. It actually does happen. It happens amongst us. It happens amongst all the church. It happens beyond the church as well. We just don't always hear about it or don't always see it. And really soon I'm going to tell a story. And I pray that we will play our part in the story that we're going to hear. But before we do that, let's look at Jesus and what he did in his ministry. Jesus healed people, right? That's a story from Acts 3 that we just sung before. That was disciples. Jesus healed people. Jesus healed lots of people. Who can name one or two people that Jesus healed? Yep. Who else? Woman at the well. Okay, yep. Guy at the pool. Lepers. 10 lepers, was it? How many went back and said thanks? One. There we go. Gee, you guys are Bible literate people. It's so good. Jesus went about healing people in his ministry. And I want to suggest the purpose is twofold. The first is this. He wanted people to be healthy. He wanted people to have life, to enjoy life, because life is meant to be enjoyed. But there's a second reason, I think, that is almost as if not more important. And it was to point people to his heavenly Father, to point people to God. Whenever Jesus healed someone, there was always a point in time when Jesus would point that person or those around them to God. And he would talk about God's amazing power. And Jesus did this really well, didn't he? Can anyone think of a time in Scripture when Jesus prayed for someone and they weren't healed? Or you Bible literate people. Did he get healed? Okay. So Jesus prayed, yeah. It's actually a trick question because I couldn't find one. I was just hoping that wasn't the only one that couldn't. Every time Jesus prayed for someone, they were healed. Isn't that amazing? But did Jesus heal everyone? No. He didn't heal everyone. Then you have the disciples. The guys that hung around with Jesus and saw firsthand what many of us wished we could have seen, right? And they participated in the healing of people as well. Now, did they heal everyone? No. In fact, I think one of my favorite stories is when they come to Jesus and they say, we need your help here, Jesus, because this is one of those prayers that we have to do when you've got a demon in them, and this is one that requires real prayer. I kind of go, well, wouldn't that be every prayer? But anyway. They didn't heal everyone, but they still went out in faith and prayed that God will work and break through into people's lives. So I want to ask a question. Do you believe that God still heals? Do you believe that God can still heal people physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually? Do we believe that? Do we act that way? Oh, someone's a pretty strong no from somebody. Do we act that way? I have to say, as I was preparing during this week, I was wondering, and this is my wonder, I hope it might be yours as well, I wonder if through this series, this whole thing of spiritual gifts and seeing that they're not just for us to build us up, but to help people be pointed to God and discover God's kingdom, that if we are not being called to pray more for people, beyond the church. It's easy for us to pray with people within the church, well, for many of us it's easy to, but to pray for people beyond the church. I think Jesus has the same plan for us as he had for his disciples. That we're to go out and be light, that we're going out to pray, that we're to go out to share. And I don't think there'll be many of us here that would disagree with those statements, right? We are called to go. We are a sent people. But how do we do this thing called healing? What is it with this thing called healing? Well, I have to tell you right up front, I don't know all the answers. But there are a couple of things I do know that I do want to share with you. And this is, I believe, very strong. The first is this. All healing begins in God. All healing begins in God. It's a deep conviction of mine. Again, whether that be the miraculous healing that you see done when someone prays, or the work of a health or care worker or whatever it might be, or a friend sitting with somebody. All healing begins in God. I say I believe that And I do. But I've got a confession to make. I believe God can absolutely heal people. I believe that God does heal people. I'm just not sure He always will. How's that for inspirational spiritual leadership for you? There's a scripture found in Mark that is for people like me, and maybe for people like you, that sort of believe God can and does, but not sure He will. And this scripture is for people like me and perhaps like you who say, I want to serve God. I want to see lives transformed by Jesus Christ. I want to do things for you. I want to see people set free, God. I want to be a disciple, not just when we come to church on a Sunday, but every single day in my work, in my life, in my home, in my sport, in my clubs, whatever it is. And this scripture is, it talks about a man who has a son. And for years he had taken his son to this person and that person and that person to be healed. To find freedom over and over again he takes them. And yet his son is still not healed. He had dreams for his son. As all fathers do and mothers. But this is a father's story. He had dreams for his son. He wanted to raise him to love God and to love the Torah and to work alongside and be a part of the community. But that wasn't going to happen for his son because his son couldn't be healed. For some reason that we don't understand, his son was the victim of a kind of suffering that we can only imagine. Scripture said he was tormented by an evil spirit. And there's so many different levels and dimensions to this. And he would go into convulsions, he would foam at the mouth, his body would go rigid, he'd be thrown into the fire or into water. He was in physical danger. But besides that, in fact, alongside that, it was more than just the physical, it was the emotional and the spiritual. I mean, in those days, in those times, when you had something wrong with you, remember, you were shunned. Other kids would have feared him. He wouldn't have had friends. The condition robbed him of his ability to talk, and his father may never have heard him say the words that all fathers and mothers love to hear. I love you. This man had a sick son, a sick child. Now I know that some people, his children have been sick. My children haven't been pretty healthy all their life, except for once. When they were about 3 or 4 months old. And we took them to the hospital 3 times in 3 days with temperatures spiking over 40. And it wasn't until this happened. See this picture here? Now, what do you think we thought was happening? Meningococcal. We were in a panic. And I have to tell you, you don't pray with faith until you actually sometimes have a real issue, right? And even then, I reckon our faith was like a tower of jelly. I just put that one in because I think that's cute. With that little thing in her arm that just had this very unhappy look on her face. And Vicky didn't sleep for 72 hours. 72 hours straight, we had to force her home. And then I went that night, I slept at the hospital, I got some sleep. But she was a bit better by then. But I'm not sure I know what it's like, and yet some of you might, whose children haven't always been well. And this is what's happening with this man. Didn't have the modern medicine that we had now. This man had something wrong with his son. He's taken him to this person, to this healer, to that healer. Surely there must be some good news somewhere for him. Surely there must be some good news. And he hears that the Jesus and the 12 D's are coming along to his part of town. And he says, once more I will take my son. He allows his hope to rise again. And there's nothing worse, is there, when your hope rises and you think and hope and pray something's going to happen and you've already been doing this 20, 30, 40 times and again it's smashed. There's nothing worse, is there? Like he takes his son to the disciples And they're quite confident. I mean, they've done this before, they tell them. They know how it works. And they place their hand on the boy and they say the words that have worked for them dozens of times since Jesus sent them out. And remember, he sent them out and they came back. Jesus, we did all these wonderful things. And they've done it again. And this time, nothing. Nothing. It didn't work. And I can imagine what this man might have been thinking. Because I think that's how I would think. I would think, here I go again. Nothing is working. My son is damned. He will never have friends, never be married, never get a job, have no real life. Why can't something happen for him? I mean, if the disciples can't do it, then what's this Jesus guy going to do? And yet, he comes to Jesus with his last bit of hope, and he says this prayer. And I say it's a prayer. He says this to Jesus. If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can do anything. That's not a great compliment to Jesus, is it? And it's not the sort of prayer that Nick's going to come up here and lead us with in worship, is it? It's not inspiring, is it? Yet it's honest, it's real, and it's this man's reality. And I reckon those around him were probably thinking, what is Jesus going to do with this man? And Jesus picks up on this term, if you can do anything, and he says these staggering words, words that this man, and you and I could hardly probably believe if we were there. He says this to him, everything is possible. Everything is possible. But there's some more words. And perhaps these are the words that have broken your heart, that might have broken this man's heart all over again. Jesus says, everything is possible for him who believes. We come back to my confession. I believe. But my experience of praying for people for healing, I've been praying for healing for lots of people for a long time, and I have seen no result. Let's just say my experience is not where I wish it was. I mean, I've seen miracles. Many of you here have seen miracles. I've been healed of things. But when I pray and continue to pray and don't see physical healing, honestly, sometimes a little bit of doubt just gets in there. Does anybody else ever doubt? Why doesn't God heal? If everything is possible, why doesn't God heal? Well, this man who hears these both beautiful and awful words at once, again, immediately responds to Jesus. And this is the prayer for people like me. He says, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. I believe, Lord, help. I believe, but I doubt. I want, but I'm afraid. And after all, where else was this man to go but to Jesus? And with this tower of jelly faith, I reckon it got really quiet right there. And I wonder if the disciples were saying, what is Jesus going to do with this faith-impaired man? And Jesus does what Jesus did. He walked up to the man's son, he rebukes the demon, heals the boy, takes him by his hand, lifts him to his feet, and restores him to his father. An absolute, on-the-spot, amazing miracle healing. And in my mind, I hear the boy saying this. Thanks, Dad. Thanks that you didn't stop taking me for prayer. Thanks that you didn't stop praying for me. Thanks that you never gave up that one day I might just be healed. I love you, Dad. Thanks for not stop praying for me. So the question I have is, how much faith do you need? How much faith do you need for someone to be healed? Well, I don't think it's as difficult as we make it out to be. I think it's actually sort of simple, really. How much faith do we need? Enough faith to come to Jesus. Enough faith to come to Jesus and ask Him. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. What is it that we actually have to offer with this thing called healing? What is it? I want to suggest two things. The first one's a scary one. So when you're with your work friends or your Probus Club friends or your family or whoever it is that you engage with beyond a Sunday, and someone says, I'm sick, my family member's sick, someone's not right, I'm struggling with depression, I'm doing all these things. Now, what's our first response? Generally, it's not to pray, is it? For a lot of us, it's not. Because we don't know how they're going to respond. But what else do you have to give? I think this is the first thing that we actually have to give. That we can actually pray for people. I mean, in the end, you are in Christ. The God that created all things and holds all things together has said, all you need to do is to come and ask me. Ask me for anything, anywhere, anytime. And like any good father, perhaps he'll give you what you want and what you ask for. So the first thing that we actually have to offer when it comes to this gift, this idea of healing, is to pray for people. And that's scary, right? Can I just ask a question, genuine question? Has anyone ever seen anyone physically healed or something? Just raise your hand, because I just want to, yep, a couple of us, absolutely. Okay. Now, I don't want to ask how that happened. Because I've been to plenty of prayer meetings where some things have happened. I mean, I was in one myself. I think you've heard my testimony about one of my experiences of the Holy Spirit. I was in a prayer time and we had this guest speaker in and he was praying for people and going, he's doing the whole old Jehovah fall over type thing and pushing people over. And that's not cool as far as I'm concerned. But that might have been what happened for these people. When we talk about healing, it's not some big ooky spooky spiritual prayer that we have to pray on and on and on and on about. Because God doesn't want us to keep praying on and on. He wants us to continue to bring things to Him in prayer. It's as simple as this. Lord, Nick has said he needs prayer for grey hair. Okay, that's a ridiculous one, sorry. It's as simple as this. Lord, Nick needs healing in this area of his life. We know that you want him to be whole. We want him to be whole. Would you do your best healing in his life? In Jesus' name we pray. Because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It does not have to be a 10-minute prayer. You do not have to work up faith. You only have to have enough faith to come. In fact, you cannot work up more faith than what you've got. Because in the end, faith is a gift, right? It's a gift that's given to us. I'm not going to show that video yet, Neil. I'm going to show it later, mate. And once you've prayed that prayer, you wait. And if you're praying in a group, there might be somebody else that might want to pray as well. And that's okay. That's okay. How God answers that prayer could be miraculous, or it could be the steps along the way with medicine or with psychologists, counselors, whatever it might be. Or it could be the second thing that we get to do when it comes to healing. We can offer time and a listening ear. Do you know what? Some people's healing, the best healing that happens in some people's lives, got nothing to do with their physical needs. It's got to do with their emotional and their mental. And the reality is, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, I can give some time and a listening ear. That's something that we can do. And that's costly, right? Because sometimes we don't have time for others, right? Sometimes we need to go and watch Australia play someone in the cricket. Or sometimes we need to go and watch that movie. Or we have to be home to watch Survivor, which doesn't start till 11 o'clock at night anyway. We have time and we can have a listening ear, and that costs us. But it can be a way that God's kingdom can be made present in the life of that person and bring them healing. I have seen this kind of healing more than any other kind, where people are willing to spend the time and go the distance with others. And I have to tell you, there's nothing better than seeing people healed emotionally and mentally as well. God and doctors heal. God heals through doctors. God heals through us. As I was preparing for this message, and we're going to pray for you soon, for those who need healing in any sort of way, it just kept on coming to me, you know what? You're never going to know what God might do if you don't give it a go. You never know if you don't give it a go. So my encouragement to you is to listen for the whisper of the Spirit and to keep praying until you see God do something. The other thing I want to suggest in all this is this reality that we die physically. We all die physically. I've been sitting throughout this week with Betty. So some might know Jenny and Flav Costanza. The mum, Betty, is up at Iona. And she is dying. And 4 days this week I've been up there just to sit. And she will say, "Oh, Glenn, you don't need to be here." I said, "No, I don't need to be here. But I want to be here. Because I hear it's good for your soul." And then she says, "Yes, it is." And then she drifts off to sleep for a little while. She will die. And so when you are praying for people, again, practicalities, and the reality is, sometimes the best prayer that we can have for some people is this: "Lord, would you do your best healing in this person's life?" Because sometimes the best healing for that person is to not continue in the life that we know, but that life beyond life, where there will be no pain for them, where there be no suffering for them, where they will find new, unbelievable, magnificent, mind-blowing wholeness like we've even never known now properly. So when we pray, pray according to the whisper of the Spirit within you. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Pray in time and listening ear." And I just reckon that you might actually see God break through into people's lives. You just never know if you don't give it a go. Very soon we're going to call you, ask for prayer, but I want to show you the story of one person's story. From the life of this congregation, and how they found healing. And I apologise for the visual. The visual just end up going mini screen, but I'm sure you can deal with it. Thanks, Neil.
Interestingly, I went into the theatre thinking that it wasn't cancer. I was going to have a half an hour operation and it was all going to be fine. And it was only when the surgeon started operating that he realised that it was cancer. And so he stopped, and then I had major surgery. So I actually went in thinking it was okay. And it was only when I woke up after the theatre, and I didn't need to be told, I just saw the looks on the faces of my family, that it was cancer. So to start off with, there was a sense of shock, and then probably about 2 days after the operation, the oncologist came and spoke with me and said, if I didn't have chemotherapy, it would be back in 6 months. So for that part of it, there was no question about whether I would have chemotherapy to treat what might have been left after the operation. Mm. I think I always thought it would be okay. I thought that the chemotherapy would do what it was meant to do, and that was always my prayer at the beginning. Each day I would pray, Lord, let the chemotherapy do what it's meant to do, kill the cancer cells if there are any left, and leave the good cells alone. So that was the sort of prayer that I was praying. I don't really think I thought that I would die, except I guess I did write a letter at one stage to put away. I didn't have any fear of where I would be if I died with this cancer, but I did have fear of how it would be in dying. And the thought of what would happen to the family is probably the biggest part. And I guess that's a bit of a strange thing to say, because you could almost say, look, I'm going to be all right. I'm sorry I'm leaving you behind.
Mm.
That's really the big part of it, because that is my faith. Because of Jesus, I will be okay. Obviously, being part of a church was a big thing for me. Knowing that every Sunday I was being prayed for, I was being prayed for by my kids on Sunday class, even though they were the little ones, I know they were praying for me. So that was a huge thing to know that that was happening. The other thing that happened was that on the Thursday night before each of my six treatments on the Fridays, I had a group from the church came and prayed for me with laying on of hands and anointing, and that was very precious. So six from the church plus Dale would pray for me each time, and the funny thing was that my chemotherapy days were my best days. I felt calmer, and I used to think I had very little faith during that time. Looking back now, I realise that's when I had the most faith, because it was faith absolutely in God and in Jesus, in the Holy Spirit. Because I used to say to God, I can't see you, I can't feel you, I don't know where you are, I don't know what you're doing, I just know you're there. And there's a beautiful song, Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life? And it was those first few words would go over and over in my mind. Will your anchor hold? Will your anchor hold? And the unspoken answer to that was, yes, it will, because my anchor was Jesus. But was I reading scripture at the time? No. Was I really praying, as we think of prayer? No. It was rough, because as well as the cancer treatment, I became extremely depressed, and so I had to have treatment for that as well. So I was having chemotherapy plus medication for depression. I used to think in the short time afterwards, after the cancer treatment was finished, that my faith was very little during this time, because you do hear of people and their faith seems to blossom. And I didn't think I was like that, but as I thought about it later, my faith was probably the strongest it's ever been. And I felt like the lady who said if I could just reach out and touch Jesus' garment, and I always think she had massive faith in the middle of everything that was happening to do that. And I look back now and I think that was the faith that I had, that it wasn't faith in me anymore. It wasn't faith in anything I could do or say or whatever I'd done. It was faith in Jesus. It was faith in God. When I had the all clear after 6 months, so I guess the first step of all clear, we were just so relieved. But there's always then that sense of, there's going to be a 6 month checkup and a 12 month checkup, so you go through that. Dale never doubted that I would be healed. Never once. He said it didn't cross his mind that I would not be healed. I can't say that I thought that, but I certainly was very grateful at the end of my treatment. I say I hit the ground running and didn't stop after that, because for 6 months I was wiped out. So it was such a wonderful feeling and to be grateful. In that letter, I did write a letter during my treatment time and telling my family what I expected that they would do when I was not here anymore. No, shouldn't do that, but I did. After 5 years, I tore that letter up because I thought, well, from now on, we just go with what it is. But it is a big effect on your family to have something like this. And, of course, when I was fine, the kids were so, just so grateful and so thankful. That's a very difficult one because, really, survivor guilt is real. When you know that other people have been prayed for, they've been through basically the same processes and they die, that's really hard to deal with. But then I have to come to the fact that I'm not God. I don't know all the circumstances. I believe we pray according to what Scripture says and we leave the results in God's hands. But that's a hard one. That's a really hard one. Okay, so today is Thursday, and I've just been to see the surgeon oncologist who performed my operation, and I'm now 10 years cancer-free, and it's actually 10 years post-treatment cancer-free. I just want to say, obviously, from what I've said, I believe with all my heart that God can heal. And I just encourage anybody who needs healing to ask. And that's probably the hardest step, but ask. Whether it's physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, I just encourage you to please ask to come, because that's what Scripture says that we're to do, to get the elders, to get people from the church who love you, who care for you, who believe in God, believe in God's healing, and see what God does.
That's a good story, isn't it? It's a good story. At our 7:30 service, I said to people, I'll say the same thing to you, I don't know what God's going to do when we pray. In the end, that's not up to me or you or anybody else. That's up to God. But if you have any need that you need healing for today, then the only thing you need to do is have enough faith to just come and ask. And so I've asked Jenny and Denise if they would come forward at this point in time. Jenny and Denise, yep. We're going to do this one of two ways. We'll find out in a moment. We're going to have some music played behind as we pray for people. During our 7:30 service, I asked if anyone needed prayer or would like prayer, and no one raised their hand. And then when one person put up their hand, another 10 put theirs up. So this is this is about you. It's not about me or us praying for people. It's about you and trying to find a new level of wholeness and healing in God. And so to help us to understand how we might pray, if anyone would like healing this morning for physical, spiritual, emotional, thanks, John. Yep, just, okay. Just keep your hands up for a second so we can see. Okay, well, we might, instead of coming to you, we might actually ask you to come to these front rows, if that's okay, as we sing this next song. As we sing this next song, you don't need to stand to sing it. You can sit, you can look at the words, you can sing the words, but even more, as these guys play, maybe it is that you can just keep praying for these people at the front, because we're a part of a community and we do this together. If those people that come forward, if you're related to them or part of their small group, their life group, I'm going to ask you if you'd come and pray with them as well. Is that okay? So as we do that, so if those people want to come forward and sit in the front row, front two rows, we'll pray with you now.